All right, let's get started so we can give Jake all of his time. Welcome. This is session number 325. I don't believe that. That's a lot. data analysis of 30-plus years of Sunstone talks. So please, if you would, be so kind as to silence your cell phones and your pagers and your beepers and whatever else you have. Let's see, and then we want to keep a thoughtful and respectful dialogue. This is being recorded and will be available for purchase. You can go to the Sunstone website and find this in the past 30 years worth of 30 years worth of speeches. We do not. I notice in this room we do not have a second mic. So since it's being recorded, maybe you want to repeat the question for posterity's sake. Jake was a volunteer with Sunstone, and he volunteered and had a project to migrate all of the recordings that we had gathered around to a WordPress site and to put them out on the internet as a podcast. No, or at least they're available out there. As Jake was going through this, he noticed that many of them were being recycled. So that's many of the themes of the talks are being recycled. So he did some analysis. Jake himself is a programmer, I guess, so you're a designer. You work for Wired. You know, you love CSS, really? All right.
It's really kind of an old bio. I really love CSS.
I mean, how can you not love CSS? He says that he takes photos and he rides skis and bikes. What kind of bike do you ride?
It's a roadie now, but I used to do a lot. It's kind of old bike. I used to do a lot of like downhill mountain.
What's missing here? All the children out there want to know.
I don't do anything anymore.
All right, Jake doesn't do anything. All right, with no further ado, Jake, welcome. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, so, thanks for the introduction, John. It's really cool to be here. I really didn't even know what Sunstone was a year ago, and here I am presenting at it today. So,
speak into the mic.
You bet.
Maybe I'll just hold it. Is that okay?
That's great.
Yeah. Like what I just said is, I didn't even know what Sunstone was a year ago, and here I am speaking. So, a year ago I didn't have issues, and now I do. Thanks, John Larson. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here. It's interesting being here at the University of Utah. It was 14 years ago, almost to the date, that I started as a freshman here at the University of Utah. It's kind of interesting being here in this building because I sat here for like 3 days straight during 9/11, and in the Union Building, just glued to CNN. So walking in the building the other day, it was really kind of brought back this like watershed of like, I was here for that. Like, that's kind of like my University of Utah experience. I just did one semester here, and then I went on my mission. And when I went on my mission, I thought, well, I should follow the Lord and all of my friends and go to BYU. And so I kind of had this like conflict of like, should I go back to the U where I was like starting the art program? I wanted to be a graphic designer. I wanted to like, I had all these ambitions. Or should I go back to follow a bunch of my friends and go to BYU? I ended up doing neither, and I went to UVU. I have a 4-year degree from UVU in digital media. Specifically, it's a film degree. It's called digital media. And my emphasis was in digital cinema and TV production. And I don't do any of that now. I took one web development class, which was learning HTML, CSS. And I did so terrible in it that I had to, I got a C- in the class. It was one of the core classes, and you had to have a C or better in the core classes. But I got really into web development right after that. Like, they kind of kickstarted it, and I was like, oh, but I actually really like this after I got a C-. And so, like, a year later, I was sponsoring a WordCamp, WordPress Development Conference, and I met my teacher there. And I was like, hey, is there any way I could just get a change to a C? Like, I don't need anything more than that, and I got my grade changed. And is that readable? I can't really tell. Anyways, I was raised Mormon. In my patriarchal blessing, some people have, like, hyper-specific patriarchal blessings. Some people have very generic ones. I was talking to Zach, my brother here, and I guess his was very generic. Mine is hyper-specific. It says, upon returning home from your mission, you should continue your education in the field of technical programs. Like, wow, that's specific. And so, like I said, I wanted to make movies instead. So this is me running a jib at UVU. I did get really into broadcasting, though. Like, this is me interviewing the hockey team at UVU. I wrote letters to the editor because I got pulled over at BYU for skateboarding, and I didn't think that that was something that I needed to have a ticket for. So kind of always been into stuff like that. About that time in 2006 is when the video iPod came out. Anybody get one of those? It was the coolest thing ever, right? What I really loved about it, though, is this was when podcasting kind of took off. This is podcasting round one. Podcasting has gotten really big again. Like, you could follow the Dolin, like, series of podcasting. Podcasting was really big. Dolin took a break, and then got back in. Podcasting as a whole kind of did the same thing. Like, everybody was doing it. There was a big break, and now everybody's kind of doing it again. And so when the video iPod came out, I was in this digital media program at school. We built a class around podcasting, and I got really into it. I was doing a lot of video production, and I knew some web stuff, and so I decided to start podcasting. Apple came out with this tool called iWeb, which is a terrible piece of software, but it made it really easy to podcast something. You could just, like, build some stuff, upload a bunch of HTML onto a server, and then boom, you have a podcast. And it was like, and it just came pre-installed on my Mac. I was like, this is awesome. But I, like, really quickly ran into some limitations with it, but I'll get there in a sec. So I was like, I have a computer. I know how to podcast. I've got some video background. I can make podcasts for people. And this, my friends, is time to go to the next slide. There we go. Oh, I skipped it.
Switch the light off.
Would that make it easier?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's like really image driven. I don't think there's much like meaningful text. It's more just like stuff to... So that's great. Perfect. So this is Utah. It's a great state of industry, and so I got to work really quick working with multi-level marketing companies. There's like one or two of those here in Utah, right? One or two thousand million. Anyway, so I started using WordPress. Does anybody use WordPress? Yeah, a few of us. So WordPress at the time for me was a really great tool for doing podcast production. It allowed me to build podcast feeds. Like, once again, I was all about podcasting. So I got really into doing WordPress. And when you start using... I didn't have a code background, per se. I could write some HTML.
The mic.
I didn't have a big code background. But I knew how to edit themes, and I knew how to do some tricks and some hacks. And when you get to, like, a certain point, you're like, well, I just need to make it do this thing. And so you start reading source code, and you're like, well, I gotta make it do this. And I kind of became, like, a full-blown developer, I guess. That kind of happened. Like I said, Mormon stories... at the time was a big part of my life. And then it kind of waned away a little bit. I'm going to, once again, this background I think might make sense at the very end of this talk, but I'm going to give you a lot of background for a little bit. So anyways, I listened to a lot of Mormon stories. I left Utah and I got a job at Make Magazine, which is a magazine all about publishing things about how to make, like backyard rocket launchers and best toys for makers, Legos, and all kinds of things like that. A year ago, I left Make and I got a job at Wired. Wired is a magazine all about technology, business, design. We're located in San Francisco. It's really, really cool. This is my favorite cover. It's Inside the Matrix. It's all about the NSA data center. Has anybody seen this cover? Y'all familiar with the data center? That's in Bluffdale, which is... I got this in the mail. I was a subscriber. I got this in the mail, I was like, this is so rad, because my house in Saratoga Springs was like right there. So anyways. So Wired is kind of a really interesting magazine. They've been publishing for a long time. And they've done some religiously themed magazines. Notably the New Atheism, This Is Your Brain on God, and God of War, which I think is the same thing. I don't know. I showed this to my mom and dad last night, and they freaked out. They're like, wait, what are you doing at work? And I'm like, actively becoming an atheist. And then this is my favorite. I was just searching religion on Wired and how Steve Jobs turned technology and Apple into religion. So anyways, when I started my job at Wired, I lived in Santa Rosa, California, which is up in the North Bay. Wired is in the city. And on a good day, driving, you're looking at about an hour and a half commute each way. When I started, I was taking the bus, a commuter bus, which is like 2+ hours. And so you have a lot of time to listen to podcasts. So you really start like, I will take anything. I'll listen to like a lot of back episodes of Mormon Expression if I have to. Like, anything. As you drive from the North Bay into San Francisco, you go through the Rainbow Tunnel. You come through the Rainbow Tunnel and you see the Golden Gate Bridge. And there was a Mormon Stories with Jeremy Runnels. And I just remember that's kind of when it clicked for me. I don't know if you guys have had that experience, but like, it just doesn't make sense anymore. Like that cognitive dissonance like kind of breaks. And last summer 2014, there were some pretty notable episodes. It was a good year for Mormon Stories, like good couple months. You had Brent Metcalf, which is my favorite thing ever. Like, holy cow, like, favorite story ever. Sandra Tanner, Jeremy Runnels, and Kate Kelly. If that's not a, that's a grand slam of podcasting right there. And so, like, this is just the ends of my podcasting playlist, you know, everything. And so I got really, really into learning everything that I could. And the church started putting out these essays last year. And it was kind of formative for me because I was like, everything was starting to break and fall apart. It's where I met Lindsay and John. And I wanted to get involved with Sunstone after reading the Plural Marriage in Kirtland and Nauvoo essay. Up until that point, I was really holding out faith for Joseph Smith. I was like, maybe all of these books that have been written, maybe all of these podcasts that have been spoken, maybe all of these different things have been said, maybe just aren't true. And maybe like it really just didn't happen, and I can kind of keep going on in my faith and understanding. But I read this one right before I got on Gadget's Go Coaster at Disneyland last October. And I was like, I wonder if I have a picture of like that part of our trip, and it turns out I did. And I was happy, but inside I was dead. So Sunstone, though, they had an event in January, and it was called Revelation in Context, or How the New Gospel Topic Essays Are Shaping Modern Mormonism. And I was like, well, this is perfect, because I'd been listening to Lindsay and others, and they'd talked about going to Sunstone, and I was like, well, this could be really good for me. Like, this is how I could heal. This could be my little thing. And John Larson was going to be there, and Lindsay was going to be there. And I was like, this is great. This is all stars. I'm really excited about this. And maybe I could ease some of her pain. Like, ease his pain. Does anybody ever think that? It's from Field of Dreams. Like, ease his pain. I think about that sometimes with people, and I'm like, how can I help that person? I'm like, ease his pain. Lindsay said, we have this huge archive of website of podcasts. We have every single Sunstone talk that's ever been done, and we have data on it. We have everything on the server. We just need a way to get it into WordPress. I was like, you are in luck, because I love podcasts, and I love WordPress, and you're built on WordPress. I'm like, this is the perfect little project for me. And so I said, sure. Now I want to talk about data storage for a minute. Is anybody a developer? Two people, three, couple people. Let's talk about data integrity for a second. When you have something in a database, it's very easy to access programmatically because it's in a database. When you have something, there's something called NoSQL or NoSQL. It's something like Memcache or Redis or Mongo. They're kind of these new databases that store documents. And they're really easy because you can query against them. They have APIs, so you can pull data out of them very easily. You have CSV. You may have seen somewhere like upload a CSV or something like that. It's a document with comma-separated values. Also easy to access. You can read it. You can do different things like that. Then you have like Excel. If somebody gives you data in Excel, you're like, okay, I can pull the data out of there. Below that, you have handwritten notes. Those are worse, obviously, because they're very hard to translate and transcribe. And below that, you have Egyptian papyrus. That's the worst kind of data store. It's very
not reliable.
It's just not reliable. Translation is a tricky process. So Lindsay gave me Sunstone podcast posts. It didn't start off in Excel. It was actually a Google Doc, and I downloaded the Google Doc and got an Excel document out of it. You can't really tell, but it's like title, description, and ID. So like, it's kind of interesting. John was like, it's not episode, or it's not 325, but it's the third day, it's the second hour, it's the fifth session. You know, so there's kind of like a programmatic interface to the session numbers. So an ID, this column, and then a URL for where the MP3 lies, which is sunstonemagazine.com/audio/ SL0013.mp3, something like that. It follows that ID.mp3. And then some of them are in a little different format. So there's like a, there's different sheets. And so different sheets have different mechanisms for storage. And so like, as a programmer, you're like, hey, if all the data is in the same format, it makes it a lot easier because you can just loop through everything. And but no, some of them actually have speakers and then different formats too. So I kind of had to take in all of that into account. So what I was looking for was a common format. And so I did some Excel logic so I could get title, speakers into comma separated values. Description, a code, so KL1409, so Kirtland is KL14, it's like the night session on the fourth day or something. And then the URL for the MP3. That was my like core data piece that I was looking for every session. So I did some Excel finagling to get it to that. There's this really cool thing called Mr. Data Converter. You can paste in, so it says input CSV or tab eliminated data. You can input the data there and it will modify it to whatever format you want. So if you're using PHP, you could do PHP arrays, XML. In this case, I went to JSON. Breathe a little bit. Taking a little break. Okay. So I went to JSON. So this is what JSON is. Does anybody know what JSON is? It stands for JavaScript Object Notation. It's just a way to mark up data in a common format. So if you look, there's curly braces. The quotes are what the object is, so title, and then the title, presenters, blah, 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 description, audio, URL. So it's just another data format. So then I created a Node.js app. So Node is a JavaScript on the server framework. Basically, I was just kind of bored one day and I was like, well, I could do this in PHP, but I kind of want to just play around with Node. And so I built a Node app that will take that big post array, and then it does a bunch more data finagling. So this is going to be a tech on heavy talk, folks. Basically, we get the post tag, which is that KL14039 whatever. And then we get the, we're going to say the post tag is the slug substring, and we're going to get two characters. So that's going to be KL. So we're going to say this is a Kirtland event. That's our tag. Let's build the year. So we're going to get the next two characters, because it was like 14, KL14. So that's Kirtland 14 is 2014. And then we have to check, is this year, which we just got as the next two characters, is it less than 16? Or sorry, is it greater than 16? So this would be... what's that?
Anything that hasn't happened.
Well, this is everything... so this would be like 98, 83, 99. So this would be 1998. So remember that whole Y2K bug? So they've been keeping data longer than that and not using four characters for a year. So this is, if it's greater than 16 because 2016 hasn't happened, then it's going to be 1998. Else, it's going to be 2000, whatever. So we have to do our own Y2K bug here. 15 years later, folks, we're dealing with Y2K. The presenters is the post on presenters. We do some presenter logic. This is the CSV format, so it'll take and split. Presenter split is says it's comma separated, so split them up by the comma, build an array out of it, and then build an array. An array is just a loop of things. This is tech hybrid, folks. Sorry. Grab the description, get the number. So this is the event listing. So this is what my session would be is 325. So this would be 0325 at the end. And so this is a way to, like, we just want to get every little piece of data that we can out of the available data that we have. So we get the slug for the event number. And then we have this thing called get the event, this function right here at the bottom. And so for this, we run it through this get the event function that says if it's SL, that means Salt Lake. KL is Kirtland, Northwest, Southwest, DC, Arizona, San Francisco, Northeast, Christ Conference, and Dallas. And if it's not one of those, then we return fix me please. And so what I did is I generated, I had two functions in Express. If I hit the home page, it would build everything into this nice little format. I'll show it to you in just a second. If I hit slash post, it would give me a bigger JSON object of data that I could look at. So let's see, how do I press escape? So So this is every single thing here. Every single session, there's 3,400 and something things. And so we can just, this is my just litmus, visual litmus test. So this is where I could say, do a find for fix me please. And if it fix me please was there, I could go and check and then add a condition and then make it show up. Then, if I hit slash posts, this will give me the full array of data. So if you remember that original array of data that had title, description, author, now we have, and I know this color's bad, let me see if I can, that's not much better. Anyways, now we have the tag, which is the event, the year 1980, this one doesn't have any presenters, these early ones didn't, the number of the session, and then the event. And so now we have a better picture of the data. Let's go back here. So those are the two functions that I did there. Now, this is going into WordPress. So WordPress has a really nice plugin interface where you can build things on top of WordPress. What I did is I used another plugin called WPCLI, which is the WordPress command line interface, because it's 1980 and it's super cool when you use the command line. So what this does here is this gets the contents of our post.js. This is that last file that I created with all the data. And then it does JSON to code, and then it basically loops through each of the posts and then builds a post object that WordPress is looking for. So we start off with the post content, we get the post description, then we add a short code for the podcast. So this is the audio, MP3, get the URL. We add some new lines, and then we get the presenters, and we bring the presenters back together. Then we build an array here, post title, post status, post content, post date. And like I said to you earlier, I don't know the dates of these events. They were, 35 years ago, some of them. And so all I know is the year. So I pass in a data object of January 1st of that year. Because that's why I would love to, at some point, add all of the real dates of the events and of the specific sessions even. We go down a little bit, we loop through the presenters, we set the presenters for each talk. So some talks have four presenters, like a panel will have several presenters. We set the symposium. So we create a new object called, so this would be like Salt Lake Symposium 2014 or Kirtland Symposium 2010, whatever it is. And then we add that as an object term so that we can then query against it really easy. We add the event. And I actually just noticed this yesterday after I made the screenshot. But this block of code is the exact same as this block of code. So we do it twice to make sure it really happens. We add Sunstone Talk as a post tag, and then we set it to the podcast category, and then we add a couple other things to post meta. So the audio, archive URL, presenters, and the event numbers. We just add extra things, and we save it to the WordPress database. So boom. So you run this command line script, and now suddenly you have 3,500 more posts. And you suddenly have a ton of data, and you can do some interesting analysis. I pitched this as a 30-minute talk, and I'm kind of there, but I want to show you some of the things that I came out of this with. Let's see. Sorry, one sec. Oh. Let's see. Go press. This button. There we go. All right. Can you guys kind of see this? Maybe a little bit?
What does it mean?
It just disappeared.
All right, so this is a command line interface. This is terminal. This is going to be kind of nerdy, folks. Preface, this is going to be nerdy. So I went on top of the, I anticipated when I started this talk that I was going to build some really beautiful, dynamic, web-driven data visualizations. What you guys are going to get is command line interface with a bunch of X's where to represent data. So this, one thing too that I want to add to this, all of this is open source. I'm going to talk to you at the very end of this about how people can contribute to this project and some of the other open source projects that I'm going to be bringing to Sunstone. To start off though, when you are, I'm doing this all locally on my computer, accessing the data locally. The same thing can be done on the server, it's the same data, but I'm just doing it locally because I wasn't sure on the internet connection, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so if you type WP Sunstone, you get the available Sunstone commands. So we have WP Sunstone install, which is the one that will install all of the posts. Like I said, all of this data is open source, it's all on GitHub. You could download all of this data and install it on your own computer. You could have your own archive of every single Sunstone talk that there has ever been. Power's in your hands. So let's start with WP Sunstone events. What do you think, which Sunstone event had the most talks? What do you guys think? Which one?
Last year.
Last year? 2014, Salt Lake?
Yeah.
Okay, any other guesses?
You mean number of talks?
Yeah, number of talks, number of sessions. And what do you think that upper limit is? Huh?
50, 75?
100? Okay, so if we type WP Sunstone events, we'll get an event list of every single event and how many sessions there were. So Northwest Symposium really has kind of been falling by the wayside with 4, 6, and 6 events. 2013, they jumped to 7.
Events,
not talks. Sorry, I say events. What I mean is talks, yeah. I come from an event background where I did a lot of events that were part of a bigger event. So, yeah, so this is sessions during a symposium, whatever. So at the top, though, we have Salt Lake Symposium 2002 is the winner with 103 events. Sessions. I'm going to get it right. It's because in the code I call them events. Anyways, that doesn't matter. So Salt Lake Symposium 89 had 103, 91, 101, blah, 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 blah. If we go to 2014, let me see it. Oh, we don't have 2014 in here. There it is. That's Kirtland. Shoot. Okay.
So to some of us, these numbers have meaning. Like 1994, yeah. It's interesting that it had that many.
Yeah.
Because that's post the symposia letter, right? Letters on symposia?
Yes.
Right.
That mean?
So there was the church issued a letter basically saying, and I was going to bring this into my talk.
Statement on the ultimate symposium.
Yeah, basically, if you go to Sunstone, we're going to take what your temple recommends. Basically, something like that.
Represent.
Yes. Well, and I think the impetus, the other part of it was, I guess in a prior year or something, there had been talk of a temple ceremony or something, and they said, we think that things were sacred, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to comment on that at this time. So we have a list.
Levine, what year was all? Did all that stuff go down? I can't. Was it 92?
It was 92. Was the Oaks on the alternate voices?
Right.
And 93 was the excommunications.
Right. Right.
94 was the fallout. And moving on from there, now explain what all this means. This is very cool.
Yeah. So
of course the analysis.
Yeah, we want to see the analysis.
Shoot,
that's why we came to this.
We wanted to see what the topics were and how many topics.
We're gonna get there. Yeah, so.
Let's get there.
You guys are gonna make it really hard.
I'll cheer you on.
So this was like the first bit of information. So this is how many events? Because everything is cataloged by event now. So now we know how many for every year, and that's something that you could have struggled with Excel and done a count and kind of done some things at one point. So now we have WP Sunstone speakers. Who's the most prolific speaker at Sunstone?
Paul Reed.
It used to be Armin Moss, but he hasn't
done any speaking. So here's a list of every single speaker who's ever spoken at Sunstone. And you can see the count there on the right hand column. There we go. Mike Quinn, Dan Wallerspan, Todd Compton. Yeah.
Terrific.
Kind of interesting. Once again, this is something that you could have maybe done some Excel digging, but this is, I think, the first time we've known that Bob wins the award for the longest road in. Yeah. John DeLynn, 14 times. Eugene England, James Schultz. What's that?
Respondent.
Well, and then PhD is also very prolific. I'm not saying this data is perfect. There's still a couple things that need to be worked out, but yeah. Tom Kimball, yeah.
John DeLynn.
Is PhD because of the comma delimited?
Yeah.
So if it says, you know, somebody at Vanderbrook's comma PhD, then that's just like Vanderbrook's and PhD speakers.
Yeah, it is. And so I meant to delete a couple of these terms, like PhD. In the next one that I'll show you, I did add a bunch of terms to a blacklist. But yeah, so that's exactly what happened. If you have comma PhD, then it gets stripped. Yeah, Paul Toscano. Yeah, it's the who's who. So now we're going to start a contest. And at the end of your life, if you speak the most, you get to go to the second highest thing in the intellectual community. All right. Okay, so.
And then you have topics too.
Yeah.
Popular topics.
Sunstone. Words. So what this is going to do now is this is going to take every single word from the title and the description of the talk. And it's kind of crazy how fast this happens, because I thought it was going to be really slow, because it queries basically the entire database. It's going to split every word. It's going to split every word by space, and then it's going to build an array that holds every single word, and then rank every single word. And so, like, the computing power on this is kind of interesting. So these are the most popular words that have ever been used in every Sunstone title, talk, and description. What's that?
And the abstract, is that what?
Yes, that's the description that is, yeah. In the database it's called, it's the abstract. Any guess?
The,
like I said, this is the one I blacklisted 115 of the most common words, so the, and all of those are...
Mormon,
belief.
Feminism.
LDS.
God.
Okay, this was my little narcissistic thing. What shows up first, Joseph Smith or Jesus Christ? So I added a little extra little flag in here for where Jesus shows up. Oh, and I stripped this to only 100 of the most top ones. So this is where I said the X is. So we ended up with 2,850 total words. I don't know if you can see that down at the bottom. So there's 25,000. I don't know how to read. 25,850 words. And then each X represents 100 times it was... No, 10 times it's been used. So like African here would have 11 or 12, something like that. So African, let's go up to the top though. You'll see, there's success. We found Jesus. And then the one thing that I wanted to do was to do phrase, like a phrase analysis. It's really complicated to do like phrase analysis because like, is Jesus Christ a phrase or is like Jesus Christ the living God? Something like that. Like, what's the actual phrase you're looking for? And it's actually kind of hard to do that. Like I said, this is just the very beginning of the analysis of this. And I want to really expand it. And there are some like natural text phrase analysis tools that are out there, but I haven't gone that far yet. Like I said, this is going to be long on history and light on analysis. But so Jesus shows up and is 221 times. And here's the very top. Mormon is the most used, 1,640 times. Church, 875. LDS, Latter Day, and then Joseph at 416. Saints, religious, book, Mormons, faith, Mormonism, doctor, which... kind of makes sense. It goes along with that PhD showing up so high. anniversary, which I thought was really interesting. I mean, like I said, I'm kind of new to the Sunstone thing, but I guess we celebrate those often here.
So. We do a lot of naval gaming.
Yeah. Well, here we are, analyzing the analysis. So, this is Naval Gazing 101. Members, Smith. So, Smith shows up 416 times for Joseph, 296 for Smith. So, I guess there's some Emmas and some Hirams, maybe. Some Josephina, I don't know. Among, spiritual, world, between, might. Christ does. And then Jesus, right there, 221. And D, I guess that's D. Michael Quinn, right? 216 times he's been referenced. Paper, blah, 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 blah.
King is an unexpected one.
Yeah. Life, social. And it's interesting, too. I'm going to show another example here. Let me go back to the presentation. Okay, so this, like I said, this is the very beginning of the analysis. There are interesting themes. I wasn't surprised to see Joseph ahead of Jesus. You know, like, I think we all kind of know that. Like, if you were to guess, right? But the cool thing about data is, like, when you have data, when you can access it, that's when it becomes powerful. Like, if this data as an Excel spreadsheet, like, hidden, you know, in some group, that doesn't help anybody, right? It doesn't help, like, when I was going through a faith crisis, it doesn't help me to know that there's some data somewhere on some server. What helps me is when I can access data. And so I'm going to talk about how we can access data. So I'm announcing the Sunstone API version 1.0. An API is an application programming interface. It's a way to access data. And I know that there's only a handful of, like, developers here or people that are familiar with APIs. But I'm hoping that this can we can grow and we can build the API here at Sunstone. This is a REST API. I don't know if anybody's heard that term, but it stands for Representational State Transfer. It's a way to access data. The data is open. It doesn't require authentication. Authentication is a huge hurdle when you're building APIs. And so it's just a totally open API. And you can create, read, update, and if you have the right privileges, you can update and delete. So, like, I could update records, I could delete records. Other people can read records. So, what this means, let me show you some examples of what this means. So, I should have some open tabs here.
Why green?
That's the way it came. Mm-hmm. Just makes you look cooler, right? Okay, so this is on sunstonemagazine.com. If you go to sunstonemagazine.com and then you type wp-json, this is a JSON format. This is the WordPress JSON API. You can access everything in the Sunstone database. Every single talk, every single presentation, every single thing. So we provide routes for different things. So for posts, so you can get specific posts, you can get terms, you can do all kinds of cool lookups now. So here, normally when you access things, you're not using a web browser or you're programming or something like this, but a web browser makes it really easy to see kind of what's going on. And this is real small here, but this is slash posts. And then we have a filter. There we go. So we have a filter, and inside this filter we have an S, and that stands for search. And we're going to search for LGBT, and then we're going to filter post per page is 10, filter, and then we're going to say order is ascending. So now we can look through the entire Sunstone database of talks, and we can find everything about LGBT. And so here are all of these talks all about LGBT. And once again, this is all in JSON. This is not like a human readable format. This is a programming format, but you can do lots of cool things with it. So here's everything about LGBT that Sunstone has talked about. Let's change it to say, I want to see everything about, anybody have a topic that you want to see?
Feminism.
So here's everything about feminism. And the cool thing is in the post headers, and once again, this is really nerdy. I want to apologize for it, but at the same time, it's kind of the context of the talk. So We also, here in the headers of the file, we see there are 50 total posts about this, and so that means there's 5 pages. So there's 50 different posts at Sunstone that are all about feminism, which is smaller than you think, but I think there's other topics and trends that you could use to do. So, back to this presentation. This would allow you to, in theory, build an app. You have the data, it's in an easy format to access, so you could then build an app. So what I did was I built, just last night actually, this is a simple web app that uses the JSON API to build an entire new website that's just accessing the data via the API. So this isn't using a database or anything, but this is everything coming live off of the website. So 2015 Sunstone Fiction winners. So if you were to go to sunstone.com and pull through the blog, you could do this exact thing. Oh, the other thing, let me show you one more thing here with this API. So here, we moved everything. So here's Alex Caliero. Is that how you say his name? I think so. So here's all of his talks now. Once again, all of this is on Sunstone. So here's all of his talks that he's ever given. There is a, using the same API, you can go to the speaker API, so wp-json taxonomy speaker, and now you can look up all of the speakers. And we can get a collection of speakers by getting terms. So this is kind of big, but here's every single speaker and all of their, all of the data that you can access for the speaker. And you can see how many talks they did. Alex Beckstead, Ali. Okay, let's see here. So like here's an example of an article that I built using the API. Staying in the church and making it work. Abstract up at the top, the title, everything like that. That's my email. Which Mormon history villain do you think you look like, Lindsay? So you can play that using the API. Let's see here. Anyways.
So, Jake,
yes.
Could we, in theory, like go to Sunstone website and then click like Armin Moss, and it would come up all Armin Moss talks.
Yeah, exactly, and that's where we're on the precipice of. And so now we have all of the data. And now the next step is building the front end. So you could query by speakers, you could query by events, you can do all of those different things. So you can get to it, like, if you know the right URL to hit, you can find those things, but they're not, like, easily accessible
right
now, but maybe
in a please make it easy.
It's going to be easy soon. So, did you have a question?
Yeah. Has there been any work, I mean, you had this sort of a keyword search, but has anyone done any work to, like, tag the topics?
Like I said, that's kind of like that's the dream right now, is to be able to, because like we could take every word and then like make every word a tag, but the real like beauty ideal would be like finding the right phrases to do all of the tagging. So the other part of this that I forgot to mention when I started this talk was, so all of this original database stuff was done in around 2002-2003. Actually on the Mormon Matters podcast, if you listen to the last one, Dan, Lindsay, and Stephen, they talked exactly about this very process. They went through, they hired an archivist, and they basically, like we have the recorders here now that are digital, but they recorded them all on tape, and so they hired an archivist to bring everything to MP3. Once they had all of the MP3s, they actually had people go back through and listen and mark up and do all of the like the original cataloging of all the stuff. So, like I said, all of this is now open source and pull requests are welcome. And so I want to build in a way that we can do all of the tagging so that we can build like better data structures around all of the data so that it's more accessible and easier to access. Because that's what I wanted a year ago, was to be able to find everything better.
I don't want to like put people on the spot and volunteer people for things, but Aaron Taylor, who is in this room, he does a lot of things on online statistics. Like he's done like the likelihood of who's going to be the next prophet. And, you know, if I think that you should definitely get in contact with him. He's definitely here to get on a lot of this analysis because, like, I mean, I'm sure that would be very useful if he had that background.
And the likelihood is.
Well, that'd be awesome. Absolutely. So like I said in the beginning, upon returning home from your mission, you should continue your education in the field of technical programs, is what my patriarchal blessing said. And I've kind of left the church, but I like to think that I'm still helping things along a little bit. Like I said, and I want to open up for questions. I think we have some time for that. But the one other thing that I wanted to say is all of this is available online. Both the podcast importer, the analysis tools that I wrote, and then all of the API stuff. I want to do a big blog post on the Sunstone site about how you can access all of the data, and then some simple projects and tools that you can use to kind of like build off of that. That's all going to be forthcoming. So any questions? Yes.
How often do you see log events from church-related IP addresses on the site?
I don't track any of that, so I can't speak to that at all. So.
So are you saying it's ready for the simple-minded now, or is it not quite ready?
The simple-minded now could definitely play around with the understanding that like a better like visual tools would be coming soon.
But we don't have to go into the code or something beyond that.
You don't have to go into the code, but you could like I said, the browser things that I showed, like you could play around
that's
with that.
There, okay.
Yeah, it's all there. Okay. Expect to block those. Lindsay.
Just to answer someone's question about the LDS Church, just so everyone's aware, the LDS Church for years and years and years they buy all the sessions every year. They buy several copies, so just something that
they're like super fans. I mean,
they are.
They're also officially registered to attend the conference in
I don't know.
I
think there was a glitch in the matrix.
I can tell you that the church hits every one of these sites that we all have every single day.
Yeah. Especially my blog. Yes, sir.
So the underlying data storage, is that all just in the JSON format, or are you planning to move that to any kind of database or anything?
Well, so all of the data, so we started off in JSON, and that was meant just to be an intermediary. So the PHP script that I wrote, that brought it all into SQL. And so all of the data is in SQL, it's part of the WordPress database, and it's all accessed via the JSON API. So it's returned out of the database in JSON format. So, but it's all in a database, it's not just JSON now. Any other questions?
So I don't know if this is for you or for Lindsay and folks in the back, but the talks have been for sale for a long time. Is there any way to post statistics on what are the most popular over time?
Well, I've done a little bit with text analytics. There are things that you can do, it's called a term frequency inverse document frequency, something like that, where you can look at terms that differentiate certain years versus other compared to other years. If you look at the whole cloud of documents for that year.
Neat.
So there are some ways to look at trends over time or explore possible trends.
And that's what I would love to do. Like, my background isn't in statistics, it's in building stupid websites. And so like I think that paired up, like I could get data into formats to do something like that. And that'd be really interesting to do. Like, I'd love to come back in a year and say like, check out all the cool stuff we did in the last year to further the data analysis and see really some more. Yes, sir.
I know you said up to this point you're kind of light on the analysis, but were there any sort of recurring themes that you saw, like areas that would keep showing up again and again?
I guess the reason I kind of pitched it as that in the beginning was when I first did it, I was like I mentioned in the beginning, I kind of went through a faith crisis. And so when I did that, it was like, I thought naively, like, I'm like, I'm the first person to have ever thought about X, Y, and Z. And it turns out, I am not. And then it turns out I wasn't the 10th person either. Like, and so, like, nothing specific, but the themes, and the Slaughterhouse-Five guy.
Kurt
Vonnegut. I guess he said, this other podcast... I'm just going to stop this whole train of thought because I can't put it together. But basically, themes are recycled, and it takes one generation to knock down the themes of the other generation. Like, so if I'm in my 30s now, the 60-year-olds, like, they can't do anything right, and so I've got to write everything and publish and produce everything to prove that they were wrong. But in essence, it's the same thing, kind of recycled over and over again. And I don't mean that to be a slight of anything before me or anything. What I came to and saw was there are... it's happened. It's going to keep going on, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Yes, sir.
I'd like to think that the comment in your patriarchal blessing is really all about helping people like me by making things user-friendly. So as you develop this to the point where it becomes accessible to people, any thoughts as to marketing and just make it publicly known? Because it seems to me that today online, for a lot of people that have issues and questions in Mormonism, and Sunstone obviously is a loathed core of
Available. Absolutely. This is something Lindsay and I have talked a lot about. There's a huge, huge depth of information of stuff in these archives. In doing the thing, I was just continually blown away. Like, it's the thing about now that we have data, now that it's there, now we can do all of these things to further along. At some point, like in the very near future, we want to redesign the Sunstone website. And then the thing that would follow that is really doing like SEO. And SEO is search engine optimization. It's a very common term for people like us in the web. But what that means is like there's this great article about Joseph and the plates. Or this I saw this thing yesterday about Mormonism and masturbation that was done like a year or two ago. That like with a little bit of tweaking, that should be the number one thing that, because that's something that people are searching for. And I mean like literally searching for in Google. And that should be the top thing that shows up. And yes.
I can tell you that our most frequently searched session, you guys want to hear that?
Yeah.
Is Michael J. Stevens, Mormons and Passive Aggression. Yeah. And like, it way outdoes all
people. Yeah. So, yeah. Any other questions? Great. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.